This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Malaganas, Edwards Johnson, the team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Boris Johnson has come out very excitedly and says, we're getting Brexit done. We got a deal. And,
right.
And lots of people around the world went, okay.
Sweet.
Damn. Mm. A lot of people went, oh, good. Yeah. The thing we voted on like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm glad that's fine.
But most people are going, okay, right. This is a development.
Yeah. At least something's happening.
Hey, I gotta say, whatever your political feelings are about Brexit, and I honestly don't really have any. I probably think it'd be better if they were still part of the European Union. Just because I know friends that have UK passports that would love to be able to go around Europe.
It affects Australia the least of anywhere else.
Well, so we're not geopolitical commentators, so I don't know.
But it affects products, and that's about it.
I do have a bit of a suggestion on how something like this could affect us a whole lot more.
But you've been inspired.
I've been inspired a little bit by Brexit, mate.
In the words of Walter White, tread lightly.
Here we go. I'm going the opposite way, though.
Oh, that's good then. That's great.
I'm suggesting something that I've dubbed not Brexit, but I've dubbed Quenta.
Quenta?
Quenta.
Please explain.
Let's make Queanbeyan part of the ACT and take them out of New South Wales. It is ridiculous that one of the cities that we talk about all the time in terms of conditions, in terms of like public holidays, is in a completely different state. Quenta. Make Queanbeyan part of the ACT.
I'm on board for this. I don't know if Queanbeyan's on board for this, but
well, they have to have a referendum, clearly. Yeah.
What about Yass?
Yenta. No.
Okay, no.
No. Yass is far enough away from Civic that I'm like, you know what? You can stay in New South Wales. That's
exactly
fine. Look, but Queanbeyan, you can't.
If someone said to me,
there are things that are confusing about it. It's like, is it a public holiday today? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, is it a public holiday in Queanbeyan? Well, not this time, but next time. Like,
too confusing.
For God's sake.
Yeah.
Quenta. We need a Quenta.
I'm on board for a Quenta.
Like most of my terrible ideas, I came up with the name first and then worked backwards from that.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, yesterday I was at Gungahl and Coles and I was walking through the aisles just doing minding my own business and I was walking behind a lovely couple. Lovely young couple. But it's so funny because I only probably heard them interact three times. And in those three interactions, I could tell. It's like, you know, when you cut open a tree and you count the rings and you can see how old it is.
Yeah.
Hearing these three interactions, I could tell how old the relationship was.
In interaction for each year, potentially?
No. It was just like, I was just counting the rings every time. I would say it's at least a 3 or 4 year old relationship.
Yeah.
So the boyfriend and the girlfriend were just going shopping for miscellaneous things. The guy was holding the basket. And his girlfriend was walking in front of him. And you know the age-old high school thing of like when someone's walking and you kick their back foot behind them and it just makes them trip?
God.
The boyfriend kept doing this to the girlfriend and she kept looking around and giving him a death stare. And he put up his hand, he was like, okay, I'm sorry. And then would do it again. And she,
like, who else would be doing
yeah,
that?
Yeah, no, he was like, okay, I'm sorry, I wouldn't do it again. And then immediately would do it again. And I was like, I want to see this because there's a breaking point coming.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I want to see how this happens. The girlfriend, after I think the fourth time of doing this, she turned around and said, I drove here, I'll leave you here.
Yes. Power move.
It's the thing you get away with once you've been in a relationship for a couple of years of like, you know exactly what annoys your partner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you take so much, like I was dating a girl named Jess for a couple of years and she used to know that I hated it when someone would try to get my pimples and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I despise it. It makes me sick when someone else tries to do it to me.
Do you want to know? I've absolutely worked out what mine is with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
I just, like, if she goes to, like, grab my hand or, like, hug me or something, you're like, oh, don't touch me.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Once you're in a relationship for a while,
you just know. You know that little, you poke, you know what you can do. Push a button. You push a button.
If I would stay at my girlfriend Jess's house, if I fell asleep and she woke up before me, while I was asleep, she'd try and do it. And I'd wake up to someone, like, poking my face, trying to get people.
Get your pimples. That's so gross.
Get off me. But that's it.
These are buttons being pushed in long-term relationships.
I'd love to know on 131060, get on the phone. What do you do? What do you love doing that you know annoys your partner? Do you go up and give them a hug when they're trying to like study or whatever? Or you just give them too many kisses on the face? Whatever it is, 131060, get on the phone.
Oh, you know what I'd love? And because this is, once again, this is absolutely knowing your partner inside and out. Mm. Is there a phrase? Can you just say something?
Hell,
maybe. Honestly, this isn't a romantic relationship, obviously, but my sister, when we were kids, I used to be able to just give her a look.
Mm.
And the look, for some reason, would annoy her.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
131060, get on the phone. What do you do? It can be a phrase and it can be something you do. What do you do that you know annoys your partner and you love doing it.
13, 10, 60 is the number to call. What buttons are you pushing?
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
But right now, Josh, we are talking about what you do intentionally, what you love doing that you know annoys your partner.
Pushing some buttons.
What do you know that just gets under your skin and you love doing it? Because I feel like if you've been in a relationship for over a year, you know exactly what it is.
We've got a bit of an update. Our phones are having some major technical trouble this morning. So if you've tried to call on 131060, we haven't been hanging up on you.
No,
the phones make it look like that's what's been happening.
We're in total meltdown.
In a happy coincidence, producer Morgs joins us now back from the studio in Christ. Morgs, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm fantastic. How are you? I already know we've been talking off air.
Yes. No, well, that's also true.
This isn't the first time
I've
spoken.
Don't call me out like that, Morgs.
What a redundant question.
Oh, whoops, no, the phone lines are down. Ooh.
Yeah, I
don't know if this isn't your doing, just so you can come on air with us.
Just sabotage.
Oh, whoops, the big red button. No, Christian, the tech would kill me. I'm not that brave.
Producer Morgs, you are master of manipulation, and I think you've been pushing buttons out there for your entire life. So do you have some go-to manoeuvres to annoy people in your life?
Yeah, so the first one I always do for my mum, and I say to her, oh, how are you doing? What's up? And as soon as she goes to answer me, I say, oh, I didn't ask. And she will, you know, she'll get annoyed, you know, fake annoyed like mums do. And I'll say, no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Tell me what's up. Tell me what's been happening. And she'll start telling me again. And I say, Mum, I'm so busy. Okay. I just need a moment. And I'll just keep going until she, you know, Bart Simpson style strangles me, you know. But the other one that I really like, and I think this one is great because you could do it to anyone. You can do it to a barista. You can do it anytime. And people will just be uncomfortable. Fitting. When someone goes to hand you something, say you order a coffee and they go to hand you it, instead of reaching your hand out in a way where you could grab the coffee, just reach out with your palm flat as though you expect them to just put it right there in your palm. Like make the wrong hand shape. Say nothing. Make the wrong hand shape and act like it's normal and just watch how long they'll try and make it work before they say, listen, you've got to come to the table.
Let's all be very clear about this. There is a breaking point, and when the person reaches that breaking point, your coffee's going all over the ground.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
One thing I actually did do last night was went bit grocery shopping. I did a little bit of grocery shopping. And I stocked up with some treats. I thought to myself, you know what, I'm gonna regulate my treat intake. And I got a party pack of Freddo Frogs. You know, like the Freddo Frogs and the caramel.
We used to live together. I used to be the one who'd have to clean the house, and the amount of times I would just find Freddo Frog packets stuffed into the corners of couches, under chairs, under the table.
Yeah. No, I
would have a fair... If I was a gambling man, which I occasionally am, I would say that you ate the entire party pack last night.
They're all gone. They're all gone.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
It's a party of one.
Could I just say that is the biggest lie we're telling ourselves as adults?
What's that?
That party pack... Because the process in my mind was, I'll just have one after dinner and I'll enjoy that and then the rest will stay in the pantry.
After dinner mint.
Yeah, just like an after dinner mint. An after dinner Freddo. I'm like, that'll be great. I'll enjoy that after dinner. Mm-hmm. That is the biggest lie we're telling ourselves. Mm-hmm. Combined with they're for a party. Yep. They're never for a party. Yeah. They're for just you. They're for just you. If there is anybody out there in Canberra who is eating those party packs the way they're advertised and intended, you have so much self-control that you should almost be teaching a class.
I was going to say, I love that you're projecting your inability to have any self-control on Mr. Freddo himself.
No.
This is not the frog's fault.
No, look, I'm not trying to besmirch him or the koala's good name. Yeah. I'm just saying the fact that it's marketed as a have one and then leave the rest or share it with friends is complete nonsense.
I think you should be able to do that. You just can't.
You think this is a problem with me?
I think this is a you problem, not a Freddo problem.
You know
problem.
Why you don't understand this? Yeah. Because you don't like chocolate.
And I'll never have this
you
problem in my life.
You need to go to a class to be taught how to be normal.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Good morning, Jessica Malboy.
Good morning, guys.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, actually. I'm very excited because I'm looking forward to releasing my brand new record, Hilda. Ooh. It's been a whirlwind making this record, but also, it's also been a tease to not only to my fans but myself. So, you know, it's I've been waiting for this, and I finally get to share it. So,
oh, that's absolutely fantastic! Well, big congratulations to you. We were going to say because there's making news today is your engagement. So, congratulations!
Yeah, well done.
thank you, guys. Thank you so much. I mean, that's also taken a while. But
we've also just got to throw...
It was bound to happen sometime.
Yeah, exactly. That was a tease for you as well. So it's just nothing but teasers in Jess Malboy's life.
Can I just do some quick fire questions, if that's all right with you, Jess?
Absolutely.
How's the weather like where you are right now?
It's very sunny.
Fantastic. Who would be your favourite musician of all time, do you think?
Oh, Prince.
Are you on The Masked Singer?
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a question.
You know, the quick fire questions weren't quick enough to trick you into maybe not having composure to answer that question.
It's the most bizarre question.
That was a good one, though.
Yeah. It's the most bizarre question all Australian radio hosts are answering, because you have to say no. You have to say no. So it's a question I already know the answer to before you answer it. Yeah. On the topic of Masked Singer, how many times have you been asked whether or not you've been on, whether or not you are on it?
I think now should be maybe it's the 15th time.
Wow. Oh, I thought it was going to be 1,000 after that.
Yeah. You've been working very hard on your music and your artistry, and you're absolutely nailing that, quite frankly. But you've performed for some very, very big names in your career.
Yeah, you've performed for... Okay, well, let's do it. We'll do a comparison, because these are potentially two of the most influential people on planet Earth. Were you more intimidated to perform for Barack Obama or for Oprah Winfrey?
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm going to say Barack Obama, probably because he had about 100 Secret Service people surrounding him. And not only on ground, but somewhere in the air.
They don't tell you where they are.
That's so intimidating.
Yeah, not the joke. Not the time to make a joke of like, "Ooh, don't frisk me. You don't know what I got on me." Not the time to make that joke.
It was quite scary, but at the same time, it was a thrill.
Yeah. The funniest thing is, I don't know why you've given that answer, because Barack Obama was only president of the United States. Oprah Winfrey is the leader of the free world. So, yeah, I mean, she's far more intimidating. Yeah.
The difference between Barack Obama and Oprah is that Barack is surrounded by security. With Oprah, no one would dare. No one would be bold enough to attempt anything.
It's just her fans, her security, built-in security. You've obviously got your own legion of fans, and they'd be so excited about today, the album coming out. For you, I don't know, I've never made music. I've never had something like this. You've been working on this for so long. It must feel like a little bit like class presentation day. Today, everyone gets to see everything.
It's definitely like class presentation day, and you're just kind of, your hands are sweating, your armpits are possibly sweating, but it's also exciting. It also gives me a thrill, because that kind of unknowing reaction, you know, if someone's going to like it or someone's not going to like it, I think that's fair. You know, not everyone's going to love what you do. And I think I've really taken that, I don't really take that personal, but I'm also open to what people are listening to and how they feel and what they're wanting and how that's moving. So,
yeah.
Good luck for it today. I don't think you need luck.
You've just been
nailing it for so long, and your fans are very, very excited for today. So thank you so much for giving us some time this morning.
Thank you both, and thank you for giving me that airtime and being able to share stories with you.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Look, I've got to say, I am very, very excited about the new frontiers that we're about to go into in the airline industry, because the big new thing is ultra-long-haul flights.
Yeah, of course, all right.
So remember back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the A380, we're talking about cramming 1,000 people into a plane, and that was the big thing.
Yep.
Now smaller planes, longer distances is what people are trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And because of where Australia is, Qantas is at the absolute forefront of this, and they're actually doing a test over the weekend to go from New York City to Sydney.
Wow.
Non-stop.
How long is that?
20 hours.
Jesus.
So they've got all sorts of things happening. They've got like the pilots all hooked up to testing machines and stuff to see how it affects them.
Mm-hmm.
The passengers are going to be constantly monitored to see how it affects them. It's a big test. I think there are going to be like something like 40 passengers on, and then a bunch of scientists as well. That's going to be really exciting.
What a high end. Like, imagine if you were a flight attendant on that flight.
Oh, but they're being tested as well, like
everyone's
to see how
tested.
Everyone on the plane is doing.
Everyone's
I don't think anyone's honestly keeping an eye on the scientists, because then who's keeping an eye on those scientists and then those scientists? Yeah. It never ends.
Yeah, so at a certain point, there's got to be a finite
somebody who's
of scientists.
Not being monitored. But there is something happening on that plane that is going to be very, very cool to potentially open up like Sydney to London, Sydney to New York. These are going to be the biggest flights in the world.
Yeah.
And you could do them nonstop potentially in the future, which is very, very exciting stuff.
It is very exciting. It opens so many doors.
20 hours, though.
It's a big ask.
They've been doing that Perth to London flight for a while now.
How long is that?
And that's nonstop. I think it's about 17 hours.
Yeah.
So the thing here is I've read different versions of reviews on this. Some people saying it's fantastic. Other people saying they miss the stop. They miss getting off the plane,
yeah,
having a little bit of a walk around, and then getting on another plane and continuing on the journey.
It's also, when I was a kid, I used to, like, when we'd stop somewhere, I could say, I technically have been to Helsinki.
Yeah,
well, even though I was there for an hour.
When I went to Hong Kong, I technically also went to Singapore.
There you go.
But I ran through Singapore airport because the plane was delayed. So
it gives you the technicality of being like, I was technically here.
Yeah, exactly.
I technically visited this country.
You would eliminate that if you were getting the nonstop flight.
Yeah.
But it also eliminates delays,
mm-hmm,
eliminates missed connections,
mm-hmm,
and it eliminates a 36-hour travel day.
Mm-hmm.
So if everything goes wrong on your return flight,
yeah, it's all
and
over.
You miss a bunch of flights, yeah, you could be traveling for like 2 days.
Yeah.
13,060. I would love to hear right now Canberra's longest travel day.
How long? So when did you start and when did you get to where you needed to be?
How many hours did it take you to go from point A to, yeah, point B before these ultra-long-haul flights were a thing?
So, like, delays, stopovers,
missed connections.
Yeah.
Did you have to stay somewhere? Yep. Were there no more flights going? Was there a volcanic ash cloud? I don't know.
That's very likely.
But all I want to know is, what was your longest travel day? The longest time it took you to go from one location to another.
Mm.
And ultimately, the misleading title might be multiple days.
Yeah.
Your longest trip. Chris from Banks is on the line right now. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, boys. Hello.
Oh, not
doing
bad,
good,
mate.
Chris.
Now, look, Chris, what was destination A and then destination B before we work out how long it took you to get there?
No, it was Canberra to the Gold Coast.
Okay. Canberra to the Gold Coast. That's about...
get a direct flight.
That's
that
about
be,
an hour flight.
An hour and
most.
A half. Yeah, yeah.
What
how long did it take you, Chris?
23 and a half hours.
How?
Yeah, my mum decided to take Chris? Up to Queensland for Christmas, and, yeah, she's a slow driver, so...
Oh, driving.
You drove,
course.
Right.
See, I was expecting airport, yeah, connection horror stories, and I was thinking, geez, you would just get in a car,
yeah,
if you were getting delayed that badly that, right, it was going to take you 23 hours. Geez, okay, 23 hours. That's not bad time, really, from Canberra to the Gold Coast in a car.
How did you keep yourself occupied, Chris?
I was only about 8 years old and had four brothers, so
yeah,
punched each other the whole way there.
Really. Nice spy going on.
With himself.
Crystal's on the line from Gungahlin. Good morning, Crystal. How are you going?
Good. How are you?
No, not
very
too bad.
Well, thank you.
Now, Crystal, what was point A to point B before we get started?
Perth to Canberra.
How long did it take you?
Okay.
47 and a half hours.
Okay, you are now the winner. Congratulations. Well done.
It's
the
funny,
longest flight.
Our professional coffee reviewer, Riley, did that flight last night.
Yes. Did you fly this or was the... Because that's, once again, not bad time if you're driving.
Oi, Riley, how long did it take you to get here?
Four hours.
4 hours.
Crystal, were you flying?
I was flying. I had two cancellations, one delay, got stuck in Sydney for the night, and yeah.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Ned, right now, I have seen a story that is absolutely remarkable.
Well, you said, and I quote, it's potentially my favourite story from 2019.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot. Remember the drunk bee story? How bees are around Canberra getting drunk and they weren't allowed back into their hives?
Yeah, okay. So let's be clear. This story,
mm-hmm,
is not like it's not like, ha, 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 how funny, because it's actually kind of serious. But there is a part of it that I'm hung up on, okay?
Okay, go.
Kangaroo went for a swim in Lake Burley Griffin yesterday.
Kangaroo's not aquatic animals.
No.
Already off to a bad start.
But I've seen that apparently this is something kangaroos do when they're distressed. They will actually head for the water.
Well, because they can swim. They're not aquatic, but they can swim. So if they were avoiding danger or whatever, they could go for a little dip.
It has sparked a rescue operation that has made national headlines everywhere.
Yeah.
Police have helped this soggy kangaroo out of the water.
Soggy skip.
With a police jet ski.
Jesus.
I didn't know we had police jet skis in Canberra.
We're essentially living in Canberra 5-0.
This is fantastic. This is like Baywatch.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited about it. Like, obviously, the kangaroo, yep, that's part of the story. I mean, I'm not even focused on that anymore.
Yeah.
The police have jet skis in an inland city.
This is incredible. And honestly, so undeserved.
Oh, like, we don't need... Why do we have... this exact reason, I'm guessing, maybe?
I reckon that whoever runs the jet ski department in the police department of Canberra, when they got this call, they were like, finally, this finally, is our time to shine.
We deserve a jet ski.
We have the government knocking at our front door every day going, we're going to cut funding, we're going to cut funding. We've saved a single kangaroo. It's made national headlines.
Jet ski time.
We want the mayor of Canberra to come and give us a high
five. It's all sign written too. Like, it's a full-on police jet ski. This isn't just a jet ski they've commandeered in some kind of cool,
God, that
like,
would be cool
action movie. Hey, I need to borrow your jet ski. This is a proper police jet ski.
What does it say on it? Jet ski police?
It just says police.
Oh.
The little checkered thing.
That's very
cool. My question to you, and it is a very valid question, I feel, because I can only see the video here. The screenshots are quite grainy. Yep. I can't see properly.
Mm-hmm.
Are they wearing Baywatch-style stuff?
Just the
police,
red shorts.
You know how, like, the police that are on bicycles have helmets, and then the police that are on horses have the horse gear.
Yeah.
They wear the horse boots and everything.
Yep.
Surely they're wearing Baywatch gear.
Do you think that David Hasselhoff was in a certified uniform in Baywatch? Do you think that their registered uniform was
Speedos?
Shorts that were 5 centimetres long? Because I don't. I think he was not playing by the rules.
I would say that is absolutely police regulation. That is police standard issue.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
For personal injury compensation, there's one team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.